This is for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And this is For The Players, the pop culture's PlayStation podcast. With almost 40 years of gaming on the PlayStation and 5 years in the games media combined, we thought we'd throw a hat into the ring and talk that PlayStation conversation.
If you would also like to have that PlayStation conversation, you can do so on YouTube, iTunes, and Stitcher. Not SoundCloud anymore because it's garbage.
Yeah, jerks want us to pay money to post more than 2 episodes. Fuck them.
We are also on Facebook and all the other social media things, but what you really, really want to be a part of is our Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/thepopculturist. So that's where all the conversation happens.
Yeah, I renamed it this morning to the Popsy community, sort of give it a new name.
And it's public now.
Separate. It is public. So anyone can join it in. And one thing that we will be hopefully launching by this going live is we will now have a Patreon as well. Patreon.com/thepopculturist. If you love what we do and want to throw us a little bit of money, you're more than welcome to do so. We will not say no.
We have many upgrades planned.
Yeah. First thing, table. Second thing, PVC pipe lights. But
are these lights?
These are lights. They're salad bowls with lights in them. Okay. If you've never heard that voice before, this is our dear friend, David Chataway. He is the social media lead and PR. What's the title you gave yourself?
PR and social media lead.
Yeah, for the pop culturist.
Exactly what you just said.
Yeah, but I said it in a whole different order.
But I said it. Right.
Yeah, you said it better.
Sexy.
Yeah, so every time we get to play a cool game nice and early, whenever we get to go to cool events, it's all this man.
Yeah.
You make the strings happen.
I tie strings. Yeah, I pull strings. I tie them.
Yeah,
sort of.
And then we pop it, and then you pop it up a little bit, and it's all good.
Yeah, and sometimes I suggest things, and you do them, and sometimes I suggest things, and they're terrible. And
I'm like, you're the businessman, motherfucker. Like, get out of here. We're creative. You're business.
Stop trying to stifle our creativity.
Yeah. He's behind the whole Wizard Wazzle from Injustice last week.
Every time I wake up, I actually think I've got to stifle some creativity today. So get on the phone.
So you go to work, you impress some people.
Ryan doesn't answer. I ruin things at Origin.
As we do every week, let's kick things off with what have we been playing. Josh, what have you been playing this week?
Two things.
Oh, damn.
Still playing Injustice 2.
Yeah, you still loving it?
I'm at like 30 hours now, a week in.
Mm-hmm.
I love it, man. Last week's episode, I gave it the first perfect score of the year.
From you?
From me. 5 out of 5. It's an awesome game. I still haven't even like scratched the surface of what there is to do. I've jumped online a little bit, had mixed success.
Yeah, obviously get your ass kicked.
50-50. I'm doing all right. Played some King of the Hill mode, which is really scary. Because King of the Hill, you get into a lobby with 8 other people. And it's set up like a stream. Like, you've got all the 8 people on the side, the chat box, and then the top two people who are fighting then and there, and whoever loses goes to the bottom and the list moves up. So you got to wait for your turn while watching other people duke it out.
Other people are really good at the game.
Well, other people that are really good, but also like when it's your turn to fight, you know there's at least 6 other people in that lobby watching you fight, and it gives you that little bit of pressure.
And fear,
but it's awesome. It's so cool. Especially when you get to like a 5 streak and you see everyone on that list, you go, I've beaten all of you. And off the announcement last week of Life is Strange 2 in development, I jumped onto playing Season 1.
Oh, last night. How is it?
I finished, because Episode 1 of Season 1 is free. Mm-hmm. It's good.
Did you get the photographs?
Yeah. It's a Telltale game, essentially. Like, it's laid out like a Telltale game so far. The first episode was good. I'm interested to play more, but I'm not sure if I want to pay for it yet.
Rumor has it may be the PS Plus for next month.
That is the rumor from the Turkish PlayStation website of all places. What about you, Ryan?
Me? I have been playing a couple of games this week. Now, the best part about it is all of them have been streamed, so it made it really easy. So the first game I played at the start of this week was Red Dead Redemption 2.
Whoa!
You got exclusive access?
Hashtag scoop.
Yeah. That's how good Dave is at our
really
PR.
Good. That's so good.
No, sorry. I was playing Red Dead Redemption. Now, I was playing it on Xbox One backwards compatibility, which is, fuck, I wish PlayStation had it, because I would be playing the shit out of that on the PlayStation right now. Funny enough, we played that like 6 hours before the news of the delay came in. Mm. So it made us look really cool, made us look like we knew something. Because like, in the chat, they're like, do you reckon it'll get delayed? And we're like, don't know. They've
maybe
never hit a release date before. We're being intentionally vague. It's so good. But yeah, we had no idea. So that was really handy. That game runs so well on the One S to its credit. Like, it's using all the benefit of the next generation console power on an old game. So it runs smooth. Like, I remember playing it on PS3, there was just nothing but frame rate drops, like, all the time. And not having it here, it's just smooth as shit.
You're on the wrong podcast to be talking about that.
If I could talk about it on the PlayStation, I certainly would. But I had also
Loves backward compatibility.
Yeah, big fan.
And it runs beautifully on the One S.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah. And I've also been playing Rime as well, which is a cool little, very interesting story of a game. It was originally a Microsoft exclusive. Microsoft were like, nah, they bailed. So then Sony picked it up, put a bunch of money into it. Mm. Then they bailed. The rumor has it they literally went to the offices of Tequila Works and just went, took the dev kits and left. That's the rumor mill anyway.
So, like, and they gave him to that little like school program.
Yeah, they gave him to PlayStation First. Yeah, like, yeah.
You will do better with this.
It sounds so mafia, just like five guys in black suits just walking in and not even unplugging the cords the same way.
Wait.
This dude, like, this dude on the timer to hit control save before all the cords unplugged from the kit to save all his work.
Yeah, the guy, as they're pulling, the guy stuck on a control, just dragging. John's going with him, apparently.
And this other guy in a black suit picks up John by the belt and walks out with him as well.
Yeah, then John gets taken to these unis as well. He's like,
you work for the studio now.
Yeah, look, the game is interesting. It's very aesthetically in the same vein of like The Witness, sort of that flat kind of style of that kind of graphics, but it's very vibrant, it's very colorful. It's also very vague in what you need to do. Like, there's no clear storyline. It's very interpretive. It's like someone played The Witness, played Journey, played like a couple of those big games, like, let's steal things from all of them and create a game around it.
Before they take our dev kits.
Yeah, and like, maybe that's what they did. They're like, hey, when the PlayStation picks them up, they're like, let's put a journeyman in here.
Yeah.
Because there's a guy in like a red cape that you chased for the majority of the game. You
mean like suck that PlayStation dick a little bit to keep the dev kits this time?
Well, why should we buy you? It has a journeyman in it. Like, oh, okay.
Well, if there's one game I know Dave has been playing, it'd be Rocket League.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes. I actually knew that I was coming on here, so I thought I'm going to play a PlayStation game because it makes sense, because I can talk a little bit and it'll be really good. Didn't end up happening.
Oh.
So I actually was going to play Horizon and then we could talk about it. It'll be really good. Didn't do it. Played Rocket League a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Rage quit again. Unplugged the PlayStation.
Unplugged the PlayStation. Yeah.
What, in the same manner that the dev kit was. Yeah. I was thinking that as you were demonstrating, I was like, is there anything I'm going to do on Tuesday?
Just closing the application wasn't enough. You had to unplug everything?
Sometimes the level gets to a point where it just has to come out of the internet, everything.
Really?
Yeah.
Because you're...
And put in the cupboard.
In the cupboard. Yeah, it goes in the cupboard.
Because you're quote-unquote... pro level, like you're above the average player in terms of skill.
I'm an average player.
Okay, but wouldn't you get like matchmaking with the same skill level of players?
You do matchmake with high quality people.
Yeah.
You're not pro level. You're like what's prosumer? You're like not quite pro, not quite general consumer.
You feel like you're good until you actually see the tiers, and then you realize you're somewhere just in the middle.
Oh, sure. Okay. Right.
But does the rage come from a shitty teammate or being outplayed?
Normally, it's the chat. So it's the 13-year-old boys.
Wait, so, like, because I know Rocket League has the quick chat on the D-pad, you know, where you pick your phrases to say. Yes. But can you actually type in it? Oh, okay. Yes.
You can type, and you can use the actual touchpad to hit the keys, like a mouse.
Oh, okay, yeah. Right.
And some people are amazing. And because you're playing with PC players too,
they
can type. They just type. And they can just cut straight to the core.
So all your...
exactly the words to hurt you.
Yeah, they do.
So all the rage comes from just little kids trash talking?
Yeah, little kids. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Why does it get to you, though? Like, what, to that level?
It's a sensitive soul. I don't know. I actually don't know. It starts like it's just banter, and then I play bad, and then I just get angry.
Okay. Because the banter, like, gets your groove off a little bit.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I know,
sometimes I initiate the banter,
but then it's too much for you to handle. But
and
I know you're
like, it. Nice save. And I just, yeah.
So then Dave takes his Rocket League ball and goes home.
Yes, I do. Yeah.
But I know you've had a few like direct messages about Rocket League too, haven't you? Like people actually actively inboxing shit.
Many times actually closed the application and just jumped into PlayStation Messenger.
Yeah.
And we've just been firing back and forth.
It's
toxic. I'm not proud of it, actually.
Yeah, that's a little dangerous just to your mental health.
Indeed.
Oh, well.
But let's move into the next segment of the show, which we refer to as Inform the Players. Yeah. We tell you about all the PlayStation news that has come out this week.
Oh, you're passing to me, sorry. mouth having a drink. All right, we have one, two, I should know. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
It's a busy. Like, the last two weeks have been so dead.
Yeah. And 9 if you include the top selling games list.
Last 2 weeks have been dead, and this week just blew the fuck up.
It did. It really did. Number 1. Sony's long in gestation adaptation of the smash hit video game series Uncharted has apparently gone under major reworking. It's now a prequel series set before the events of the games, and its hero, Nathan Drake, will be a youngster played by Spider-Man himself. Deadline reports that Sean Levy's film itself is a retooling of initial plans for an adaptation of Naughty Dog's Indiana Jones-esque action series, will now take inspiration from the flashback sequences shown in the third game of the series, Uncharted 3 Drake's Deception, which showed the young Nathan Drake meeting his future partner in crime, Victor Sully Sullivan, for the first time. The website claims that the vast retooling of plans for the film came when Sony Pictures chief Tom Rothman saw a new cut of Spider-Man Homecoming, which has led to not only Uncharted getting a new rewrite, with Sony allegedly currently hunting for a new writer to redo Joe Carnahan's script. It should be script. But also Homecoming star Tom Holland himself coming on board to play young Drake. What do we think?
No.
No? Shaky head no? No.
Everything about that, like, originally when as far as I knew, the story was just Tom Holland is Nathan Drake. I'm like, okay. And they're doing Uncharted 3. I'm like, cool, that's something that we've never seen.
But Tom Holland's like 14.
Yeah, and then I'm like, wait, the movie studios, they just can't. 14? They just, he's like, young. He's 20, but he looks young.
Is he
young.
Playing really? Illegal?
I'm like, fuck it, movie studios just can't not do an origin story, can they? They can't just start a fucking movie.
But like, you don't think it's maybe
dumb
the
origin garbage.
The safest bet, though?
Yeah, it is. In terms of like what they could do, it's the safest bet, as it's not retreading something we've already seen. When they mention that, it's the Indiana Jones-esque, right? That's the danger of what they make could be reflected as Indiana Jones light. Mm. And outside of the gaming community, would be hard for it, you know?
But what I've seen so far of Tom Holland, he's got the moves.
Yeah.
He's got the sweet moves.
He can swing, he can jump, and he can do cool shit.
He's Spider-Man without the costume.
What the fuck? Like, what part of going to see Spider-Man goes, this guy could be an Uncharted? Like, and he's like, we saw the movie, and now we're rewriting the script because of it? Fuck, this is studio intervention. This is in the same vein of, like, Warner Brothers with Justice League shit, right? They're like, holy shit, we saw someone was doing this, let's put that in. Like, you are, that doesn't tonally fit in this movie. Rewrite it, says the studio.
Just let him go. You can't get a word in when he gets like that. Just let him go.
I have no opinion on it. I so I'm glad.
Did you ever play any of the Uncharted?
I actually tried to play number one and got stuck, and then just
I got stuck.
Yeah, I just
my 8-year-old has finished number 4.
My 65-year-old stepfather completed all 4.
Oh yeah, well, my dead sister.
No,
my uncle works at Nintendo.
I'm keen for movies.
I like movies.
Yeah, I love movies. And I think Tom Holland's pretty cool.
Hopefully it's not another Assassin's Creed-esque. Yeah.
That is my other concern reception. As well, of course. Yeah, outside of my passion. Your hatred, passion. Apparently. Mm. It just, like, a lot of the key words in there just scream danger.
Tickle you the wrong way?
Yeah. Mm. Like, when it was just the news, not so bad. But there's additional garbage at the end. Like, what the fuck?
What about the rewrites?
Yeah.
Mm, okay.
The first one was written poorly anyway, who fucking cares? Like, you know, the rewrites are glad. Yeah. But like the way that sentence is structured and the way they've delivered that information is dangerous.
Okay.
Next.
Okay, yeah, next. Because you'll never stop.
Oh, I'll stop ranting in a circle, and then it'll be the For the Players 8-hour edition. It's just me ranting to the camera for 7.5 hours.
Number 2, Red Dead Redemption 2 will launch in spring 2018. In America. What's that for us again? How does it work? Autumn? Fall. So this time next year. Publisher Rockstar Games has announced the game, which is headed to PS4 and Xbox One, was originally set to be released this fall, which is spring.
Which opposite?
In a quote from Rockstar, this outlaw epic set across the vast and unforgiving American heartland will be the first Rockstar game created from the ground up for the latest gen of console hardware, and some extra time is necessary to ensure that we can deliver the best experience possible for our fans, the company said in a post. It's pretty standard kind of statement. Details are scarce about the long-awaited sequel to Red Dead Redemption, although we do know that it will have some exclusive content for PS4. In an update a few days later, Red Dead Redemption 2 has slipped into the next fiscal year, according to Take-Two Interactive's latest quarterly earnings report. That means it will launch sometime after April 1, 2018. So as we said at the start of the show, you kind of maybe called it a little bit.
Yeah, we sort of had the discussion that I was always very hopeful and optimistic that it would hit the date. Because I'm like, to me, I'm like, like, if they, Rockstar can come out and hit that date on the head, that would have just been impressive as shit. Because they announced it this year and it comes out this year, like, Oh no, it was October of last year it got announced. My bad. But like, if they can hit it within 12 months, beautiful. Like that is insanely cool. However, sadly they didn't. The news bums me out as any delay does, but I know that there is such a level of polish that comes with the title of a Rockstar game that this is fine. And as that key word right there, we're building for the next generation. Like GTA 5 was them making a PS3 game and then fucking with it to make it a PS4 game in a good way, of course. Like they learned in the same way that Bethesda did with Skyrim, right? They rebuilt it for the next gen so they could learn that console's architecture. Mm-hmm. And they're doing the same thing here. And by the sounds of it, maybe a little bit tougher than they thought, or they want to make it better. And like, I'm cool with that. Dave? Well,
My opinion on it is more so like, do you think this will delay anything around GTA 6?
Well, my understanding is in the same vein. Oh wait. I might be wrong. I think I might be wrong here, but I know there's different teams at Rockstar. There's like Rockstar, there's Rockstar North, and there's Rockstar Vancouver, and like a couple different variants, right? Like Rockstar Games themselves are the ones that work on GTA, and I think Red Dead Redemption is Rockstar Vancouver. They're the purple Rockstar logo, because the yellow is Rockstar, the blue is Rockstar North, and the purple is Rockstar Vancouver.
Okay.
So I'm pretty.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I didn't know.
Yeah, thanks.
So I'm pretty sure it's Vancouver mixed with a little bit of like I think North's coming to help them out. So. That's fine. Mm-hmm. Like, my concern is that because they'll still be working on that. Like, Dan Houser will have an involvement. He's one of the creative directors of Rockstar Games. So he will still have a creative involvement. I don't think that'll hinder anything anyway. I still don't think... GTA 6 is still a while away anyway. Like, it's not like it's around the corner.
How long do you think?
I'd probably give another 2-3 years.
So that'll take us to what? From GTA 5 to 6?
Yeah.
That'll be what? Seven years?
Yeah, it was about 5-6 years between 4 and 5, I think.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
I was living in one part of Melbourne when I got it, and then I moved over there. Like I it was like a good couple of years.
Well, the delay is fine for me because I haven't played number one yet, so it gives me even more time to get through it.
What's really interesting though is like, because people were like, I'd imagine there's a big sigh of relief around all the other publishers come November. Yeah. Everyone's like,
oh thank God.
And then like the Ubisoft just announced Far Cry is coming out early 2018. They're like. But you know, like the fear went from one place to another, because like that frees up the big end of the year. Like outside of all the staples, like your Activision with like Call of Duty and Battlefront, and Destiny's in September. So like it's taken away a lot of the heat.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's kind
of fine with that, because we always get bogged down that time of year.
Yeah, we
get really
nuts.
Badly.
It's nuts. And if it comes out in about April, not much happens in April unless it was this year.
Well, seeing as you just mentioned Far Cry 5, I'm gonna. Skip some news and go to that now.
Works, man.
We got a whole lot of news. You watched it last night.
By complete accident. I finished streaming Rhyme and then I went and sat on the couch and went, oh, fuck. And then turned on the TV and then the Far Cry reveal was literally 2 minutes away. I was like, yes, please.
So I've got a lot here, but I'm just going to kind of skim it.
Shit, yeah.
So the story will be set in Hope County, Montana. And the villain is... Because Far Cry 3 and 4 had these larger in life villains with Vas and Pagan Min. This one is the father, Joseph Seed, the leader of Eden's Gate. So it seems to have a lot of very religious undertones. It's very prominent.
Talking about that key art, it's pretty obvious. It's pretty huge.
Yeah. The gameplay pretty much looks the same as a Far Cry. You got bases to take over, you got wild animals to kill, but you can also.
And ride.
And ride, but you can also fly a plane and get into dogfights as well. There are guns for hire, allowing you to recruit both NPCs and wild beasts to help you. Also, muscle cars, ATVs, and other vehicles as well. For the first time ever, though, you can fully customize your character. I mean, you can play as a man or a woman and choose a race as well. Not much in the way detailed of how much customization you can actually do.
Or what races you can pick, really obscure green ones.
Like orc, trolls, gnomes,
goblins. That's fully customizable.
The typical RPG kind of stuff. But for what I understand is a first for Far Cry is the entire solo campaign can be played in co-op.
That's 100% true. Wow. Like Far Cry 4 had it in certain
moments. It was like a side mission kind of a thing.
I can't think of the word either. Like a little situation where you would call them in and be like, hey, come help me out. And like,
okay. Yeah, but apparently the whole campaign can be done two-player. Awesome. That's really cool.
You want to do it?
Yeah, totally.
I'm keen. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, so we'll totally. That's very exciting. And also, apparently like previous games, I didn't know this was in previous ones, though, Far Cry 5 will feature a map editor for players to create their own maps. Was that in other games?
I don't know. I've never touched it. I know it was in Far Cry 2.
Okay.
On the PC, but never played it.
Or maybe they weren't talking about
on
3
PC,
and 4.
On PC, I played on PS.
It was in 3 and 4, I don't know. But this just seems to be the kind of revitalization Far Cry needed.
Yeah. See, what's going to make this game amazing and really make it different is the fact that, you know, 4 was in like the Himalayan mountains, really cool, exotic-y sort of place. Far Cry 3 was in like the Bahamas. Mm. And Far Cry 2 was in like Africa. Yeah. Like they're clearly defined areas.
And Primal was...
And Primal was like...
Way back.
Like way, like, you know.
I platinumed that game.
Yeah, well done.
I had a great time with that game.
You gave it to me like months ago, so I haven't touched it.
Yeah, and Until Dawn as well.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Anyway.
All right. But like, it'd be interesting to see how they bring it into... America, like, because you're not, although they're doing it in the sort of the mountainishy area, so they'll have like bears and
Well, in the trailer, things. You saw a bear chasing a dude,
yeah. So you'll have some of the animal influence that you would, but it won't, like, because there are other locations that you're not really used to, they could be like, there's tigers here, and you're like, okay,
yeah, pretty much.
You know what I mean?
But I wonder what this game's honey badger is gonna be, yeah, because honey badgers in the other Far Cry games would just mess you the fuck up.
Like, one of the worst things when you walk through, and like a tiger
honey
comes
honey badgers.
Out.
Yeah, back again.
Just put them back. The return of the
hunt. Yeah,
but
this
make
is
them
the Montana
like,
badger. You're like, what?
Yeah. They're 4 times bigger than their cousin, the honey badger.
Yeah. Because like that's like I'm curious to see how they put it in this world, and it gives me a lot of vibes of like Kevin Smith's Red State in terms of the whole religious undertone, like this religious cult that's gone to the extreme and they're just jacked up with guns and shit goes crazy. Like, I can't wait to play it.
Like, seems like really a good keen. Stuff. Good stuff.
Release date is the 27th of February next year.
Yeah. What's the last Far Cry game you played, Dave?
I played Far Cry 4.
Okay.
Primal.
Primal. Okay. I skipped...
I played it for about 8 hours.
I skipped 4.
Yeah,
played the shit out of 3. 3 took a downward turn after, well, it's not spoilers anymore, but after Vaas wasn't part of the story anymore, because he was just so good.
And when that the game opening, you in the cage and him like, oi, and he's like, oh,
and he's
so
like
good.
All like, you know, being up with like creepy shit. Movements and shit. And yeah, Primal, like Platinum, but I skipped 4 because it seemed like more of the same of 3. This is cool. I'm so pumped for this.
Yeah, 4 was like 3.5-ish, yeah.
Yeah. Next bit of news. The Sony corporate strategy meeting briefing has shed more light on the company's future plans, which appear to include...
Exciting news. Business.
Which appear to include a boost to the PS Plus service. Sony management talked more on the project, revealing they wanted to make PlayStation Plus a more attractive prospect to fans to subscribe to. These changes will be deployed to help grow subscriber figures, which apparently include 70 million monthly active users and 26.4 million PS Plus paying members. While Sony didn't go into a deep dive on the subject, it was mentioned that they wanted to enhance the content offered through PS Plus. What this means is anyone's guess right now. Sony has teased in the past they might add new PlayStation VR games to the list as well. So, back off episode 2, we were talking about how the Vita could be like the backwards... Vita 2 could be like their backwards compatibility machine.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they could work it into PS Plus.
Yeah.
Maybe.
That'd be awesome. Hey, like, well, you PS Plus this month. You get a free Vita. Like what? Like what game? Like no. Fuck Vita.
Yeah.
You get a whole.
Please
company.
Take it. We just don't want it anymore. Just say it. But what could they add? Like, what else could they do though? Because at the moment you're paying for your online playability, your online multiplayer, and then whatever 5-6 free games they put out for the month. Mm. What else can they do? You know.
Yeah, it's a good question.
Because like, Xbox Gold is essentially the same thing, isn't it? There's no benefits that gives compared to the PS Plus. No,
not really.
Not these days. These days they're pretty much identical. Yeah. Like, I just renewed my Gold subscription because PSN. You know,
maybe sharing, maybe for PlayStation Plus members, like two, like having a family set up, or being able to trade games or something like that. Maybe, maybe being able to download a demo period of games, like an hour or something of a specific title that's just come out. So instead of just being free games, it could be a game to play for an hour or two, and then you can unlock it for X amount of money.
Like, or you can choose one of the PS2 classics to play for the month, maybe.
It'd be interesting if they get like a secondary tier of PSN, maybe. Like you got the $10 a month, you got the $15 a month. Maybe.
Yeah, that's cool.
That could be something they could look at doing. Like I don't see them doing that, but that could be an interesting way to go about it.
Maybe integrate their movies.
Free movie or so you, like every month you get a free game and a free movie.
Yep.
Yeah. Or your choice of 3 or 4 movies.
Yeah.
That'd be right.
Like make more of an a la carte sort of month.
So like pick a game or the movies or something like that.
Yeah.
Like as you go in there, you pick the ones you want, and then it goes, boom, here's all the codes.
Yeah.
Or pick a game and then, or pick a month of free Netflix.
Or DLC.
Ooh.
They don't really do DLC.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah. Be interesting to see what they come up with.
But knowing that there's like 70 million active users on the PSN in general, that's a lot of people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and 26.4 million people playing about $10 a month. Paying about $10 a month isn't anything to snuff at either.
Damn, that's a lot of money.
I think I saw on Facebook that it's about a 37% attachment rate for registered, like sold PlayStations and who's paying for Plus. That's a pretty good attachment rate, I think.
The only thing they probably want to work on, and I think that is like a consistent quote unquote quality level of the games. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of the time it's either they're all sort of dead, they're all kind of air, or there's one big fuck off game that is huge and the rest are shit.
Yeah, well,
like they clearly have a budget every month and they work around that budget with what they've got.
Yeah. Because I assume that they pay the developers and,
yes.
And yeah.
Yeah. But you will never find those numbers anywhere. Yeah. They're not allowed to talk. Like, the devs aren't allowed to mention how much they were paid for their game to
be. I remember they approached someone at Psyonix and they're like, I can't tell you what they paid us for Rocket League.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish I got Rocket League when it was free because I wanted it like a year later. So now I make sure I download, I add everything to my library just in case. In case. I'm going to skip one news topic because I actually don't really think it's worth talking
about. What was the topic?
A curator program launched on the United States PlayStation.
Yeah, it doesn't help us.
Doesn't We're help Australia, us mate. In Australia. Coming off.
Cobber.
Cobb. Coming off what we talked about, I think, in the last episode, where Square Enix parted ways with IO Interactive.
Mm-hmm.
Bit of an update on that. Hitman developer IO Interactive has announced layoffs following its enforced split with publisher/owner Square Enix. Announced in a short statement on Twitter, the details are vague, simply saying that we're sad that great talent and good friends will be leaving the studio. It's not clear where this leaves IO or its cornerstone franchise, Hitman. The studio had previously announced that it had 3 seasons of content planned for the newly episodic stealth game. It does seem that at the very least I will remain open, as the statement refers to future adventures for the company. Sad.
Sad.
I've never cared about the Hitman franchise. Like, ever.
Well, we kind of delved into what we thought of Hitman like the other week, but this is more follow up on the people at the company. And that's really shit that no one's been able to pick them up. Like, that's so bad.
Because I'd imagine if they don't get picked up pretty soon
That studio
what
is
they,
done.
What are they going to do?
They'll individually obviously get jobs.
Oh, they'll
definitely get jobs. The sad thing is the Hitman franchise.
There were other studios that were like, oh no, we're hiring, come.
Yeah.
Like, we'll get you priority interviews. You know what I mean? Like, they've been really good about that. And that's a nice little thing when you sort of see.
Yeah, there's a community there.
The behind the scenes of game dev.
They don't all fucking hate each other.
Yeah, like, the ones are pretty chill. And they're like, yeah, cool, man, come on. You've got skills, come on.
I would like to see Sony pick up the rights to the franchise. Just another first party title. Not first party, but another exclusive title they can have over Microsoft.
It's a second party exclusive for Hitman,
yeah. But I don't know who they'd give it to if IO disbands either. But sad news. It's never good to hear about layoffs. What else is sad news? The next news item is sad news. Segue up really badly. I think it's sad news because I don't want it. The Conjuring and Aquaman director James Wan will reportedly produce the first of 6 recently announced Resident Evil reboots for Constantine Film. Deadline reports Wan, who's known for producing successful horror films like Lights Out and Annabelle, is only set to produce the first Resident Evil reboot for now. Greg Russo will script the remake. Wan worked with Russo on the upcoming Mortal Kombat reboot. The Resident Evil film franchise reboot will reportedly feature an entirely new cast. However, there's currently no word on who will star or direct the project, and Constantine Film is also remaining tight-lipped about story details. When did the last Resident Evil come out?
About 6 months ago.
That's really soon.
No, that literally came around. It finished the same time as Resident Evil 7 came out.
That's really soon.
How much do these movies cost to make? Like 30 mil?
Probably somewhere.
Yeah.
How much do they make? 150?
Yeah, but they're clearly decreasing in their value. So it makes no sense why they did this. Like, the Resident Evil franchise, the movies are so separate to the games, and batshit right now.
But James Wan is a very good.
See, James Wan is phenomenal.
And if they do a reboot and it's really, really horror focused, it could be amazing.
See, that's what the movies lost. They lost that horror focus.
The first one kicked off that way.
Yeah,
and then
the first and second movie were decent.
Like, if they make Resident Evil as in Resident Evil the game, and it's got that horror tension, the same horror tension, the credit to The Conjuring is you feel tense for 90% of that movie. You are just locked fear.
But the other thing is, now, these days, are zombies scary anymore?
I don't think zombie in your face zombies like The Walking Dead isn't scary.
No,
I think
what 28 days later zombies are the scary. Yeah, zombies.
Oh, that's the aggressive sort of
sprinting for runs.
Either go one or two ways. Either really aggressive, and so it's like just constantly, you know, you're just not running, stop running, trying to survive. Or it spins the other way, and it's like the tents. Like you don't really see them, but they're around. Maybe there's not a lot of
them. That foreboding that kind of makes
like maybe a confined space. You know, like stuck in a building, and there's one or two.
Do number one, like the mansion.
Do number one, lock it in the mansion.
Yeah. Have the dogs come through the window.
Yep.
Oh, that scared me so bad when I was a kid. That scared me so bad.
I think it's funny news, but
I don't want to see it.
If they do it right, it could be cool.
Well, look, it's one of the staples of Sony Pictures. Mm. It makes a ton of money,
and the name has weight behind it.
It does, and especially now with Resident Evil 7 being
maybe they'll go that route, the Biohazard kind of route, story wise.
I'd like to see that. That'd be cool
because that would have made a good movie.
Made a great movie.
Next and final bit of news for the week. Are the top selling PlayStation games for the week ending on?
This is in Australia. We should always mention Australia. That this is the top 10 games in Australia.
In That's Australia.
The key bit of
for the week ending the 21st of May 2017. Starting at number 10, Battlefield 4. Number 9, Fallout 4, which is weird to see that jump back into the lit.
I think it's really cheap again.
Oh, like the May sale.
I think it's like $19 or something right now.
Number 8, Call of Duty Infinite Warfare. Number 7, Ghost Recon Wildlands. Number 6, The Surge. Number 5, Prey. Number 4, not number 1 anymore, still hanging in there, AFL Evolution. Still up there.
Must awesome. Be AFL Evolution.
Awesome. Doing well. Number 3, Farpoint VR.
That is amazing, but we'll get to that.
Number 2, Horizon Zero Dawn has gone back up. That's awesome too. But number 1, Injustice 2. Clap, 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 clap. So despite... the shitty marketing for Injustice and the video we did on it talking about how they could have done it better, still debuted at number 1.
Yeah, people love Batman. People love Superman. Like, you put them on something, people give them money.
Mm. As the movie proved.
Yeah. As the movie made over $1 billion and it's garbage.
It's not
but
garbage.
What amazes... It's
not... Garbage is a harsh word.
No, Suicide Squad's certainly garbage.
No, that's too much as well.
No, you're wrong there.
We're always going to... We are always going to disagree on this topic. Anyway.
Farpoint. And being on the list is amazing. That's so good. Like, to be able to see a VR game top charts.
I think it was always going to be in the top 10.
Yeah.
How long has it been since a great VR title released?
Probably Resident Evil.
So that's not even just a VR title. VR kits
are just so you mean like uniquely standalone VR games? VR.
I think if that Arkham wasn't a when VR it came out game, in October. I think if that game wasn't a VR game, it wouldn't be in the top
10. No way. It would actually be a really average shooter if it wasn't VR.
Yeah.
Average shooter.
I'm glad AFL is still up there.
Once
that's
again,
really good. And not even like near the bottom. It's still 4. So it'll still be in there for another 3 or 4 weeks, I think.
As I said, like,
what games are coming out in the next 2 weeks?
Not much.
Not
much? We'll find out in the drop at the end of the
We'll find out for next week, yeah. But I'm glad to see Horizon back up as well.
Yeah, well triggered that.
It hasn't left the top 10 since it came out, I don't think. And the fact that it's gotten lower but then bounced back up as well, it's awesome. It's awesome. We're so lucky this year.
Yeah, this has been great.
So lucky this year. That's it for the news.
So that
for this week.
All you players are informed now. So by having Dave Chataway in here to chat with us, you didn't just come in to show us your pretty face, mind you. We're very grateful. You did also. You were also bringing our topic of the show, which we haven't got a name for this segment yet. We're trying to work out what it is.
We're going to get to like the 1 year anniversary of all the players and just be like, well, now we're going to talk about the. The thing. the main topic.
The thing. Alright, what do you want to talk about?
I thought it was, I guess, news of the Scorpio. Or a bit tidbits over the last sort of month got me thinking a little bit about where does the Pro go come E3?
Mm.
So we know that Microsoft 100% guaranteed they're going to either show off the hardware or the cost or the release window or all of the above. And it's definitely going to trump the Pro power-wise.
Make sure you're keeping the mic there.
Thank you. It's definitely going to trump the Pro power-wise. But the interesting thing is we've known that it was going to be very powerful since the first reveal, I think, last E3.
Mm-hmm.
And the Pro came out earlier and made a big song and dance about it being the most powerful console. And so I guess my question for us to discuss is there a place for the Pro being the second most powerful console?
So you're essentially like Xbox versus PS4 Pro.
Yes.
Where does Sony stand?
Where does the Pro fit?
Yeah.
We've got a budget PS4 that's more than adequate.
Yeah.
And then we've got, which trumps the 1S, according to many.
It does, and on a pure power process, yes. Yeah.
And then you've got a Scorpio, which is potentially going to be very expensive and amazing, but very expensive. So where does the pro fit?
I think the key thing that'll come into play when the Scorpio comes out is, you know, yeah, it's that much more powerful, but because it's still part of this generation of consoles, it still needs to somehow be, you know, chained to the Xbox One S, because they've already said they're not going to develop Scorpio only games. Everything has to be multiple playable on all their consoles. So first off will be, how much will that hinder what it can really do? Because if it hinders it a lot, the Pro is always just going to be better because you have games to play on it. But if they separate it and they do go, we are doing Scorpio only games, that kind of pushes in the new generation of consoles. So they're in a hard spot as well.
It's the same marketing problem that PlayStation had with the Pro and the PS4, yeah. Like, but only to the next level, because they're like, well, this is so insanely more powerful, why, you know, everyone was like, well, the Pro is more powerful but only kind of just, like, why is this a thing? With the Scorpio, they've got the opposite. They're like, well, why, this is so powerful comparatively, why are you not doing another generation? So it's very interesting from a marketing perspective. I think the safest way for them to go about it is, well, this is for Xbox at least, to sort of go, they're like PCs now. They all play like a PC. You get a PC game, came out 20 years ago. You can put that in your PC and it'll probably play.
It probably won't. Not 20 Maybe years not 20 ago.
Years. 5 years.
I get your point.
Like that the media itself hasn't changed. Yeah. You can put it in and you can still play it on the PC. And I think that's what they need to do. So rather than knowing that, because that's the big thing that I have to try to do is change public's perception on what console generations are. And Sony's have to do the same thing as well. So rather than sort of making pro only games, they make a game that is clearly designed for the pro and everything slides down a little bit for the PS4. That's the only safe way to go about it. Yes, that hurts a lot of people. The pro's been out almost a year. So it's not as if it's just the last 6 months. So give it another year.
Okay.
It's too bad. That console is 6 years old now. Buy a pro.
Yeah. So here's the next question. How do they transition everyone into a pro then? So if there's no more sort of like clearly defined generations, if that happens, how do they get everyone smoothly to roll onto the pro?
The only way to do it is not restrict is the wrong word, but when they in a year from now, there will come a point where like this game clearly runs better on the pro. And everyone's like, meow, meow, meow. I'm like, yeah, well, as I said, the PS4, 6 year old console now. Where games are going, it can't play on here as well.
But going off that,
or at least visually, at least.
Yeah, but going off that as well, is Sony are in a really hard spot because of the timing that they've released the Pro, and with the Scorpio coming out roughly a year later, is that now, even in another year, it's too soon for Sony to bring out another console to directly compete with the Scorpio. So they have to wait, and that might be dangerous for
them. But at the same time, this is the other thing, an interesting thing with how these consoles are designed, right? So there is a massive increase in GPU power. The CPU power is only slightly increased. So there'll forever be a bottleneck in these consoles. It has the potential to be graphically powerful, but the processing itself isn't up to the same standard. Like if you're running a PC, you can have them equivalent, right? So they just benefit each other. Like for here, there is a clear problem with, you know, the processing power. This is the same thing we talk about with Destiny, right? With Destiny not being able to do 4K 60 frames on the Pro, which, yeah, because it doesn't have the computing power. The graphic power is there. We know it does. It can run games in native 4K. Yeah. There are games that come out that can do that, like Tomb Raider, the new Crash Bandicoot. Like, there's all these games that are running in 4K without a problem and at 60 frames, but they're not in the same space.
Yeah, it's also a different setting of game because those games are very confined. You have your level and that's what it has to load and that's what it has to render, whereas Destiny being as the big open world MMO-ish kind of game, you've got
multiple players
and the maps and the inputs because it's all online as well.
They can graphically match it, but it doesn't have the grunt.
Yeah.
And that's that was the only concern about this half generation shit. Is that because everyone's like, it sounds crude, but everyone's jerking dick about 4K right now. I love 4K.
Yeah, but
don't get me wrong.
The Pro just a 4K. It's essentially like
it's a 4K PS4. PS4K is what it is. Yeah. And the Scorpio is essentially the same. It's a Xbox 4K. But with a little bit more grunt in it because they had the benefit of a year's time. You know, and like tech changes within a year. So to their credit, they waited that little bit longer. They managed to get their 8 teraflops they wanted. They've got a bit more computing power, but it's going to be $700 Australian minimum. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. And no one will want it.
And it's just Sony are in a tough spot because they were the ones who released their next iteration first.
Yeah, whoever so was first would still be stuck.
Is stuck. So, you know, Sony have gone first. Xbox have countered with the Scorpio. Even though they're not directly competing, they are directly competing, especially in consumer eyes as well. Mm. And then for Sony to release another console in the next year, even 2 years, is just... It's a hard thing to market.
See, this is where it's kind of tough. So the way I see this console war right now, so there's the PS4 and the Xbox One. Then there was the Xbox One S and the PS4 Pro. And now there's the Scorpio. The Scorpio is in a league of its own.
Oh,
the PS4 Pro is not its competitor. No. The Xbox One S was. Like, that's where it sat.
I agree. But from a consumer point of view, they are competing.
Yeah, from
they
a consumer, because, like, are. This is the latest PlayStation. This is the latest Xbox.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, like, I get it there as well. Like, I'm not disputing that. It's just that this has a benefit of time. And I think what do they do being the second most powerful console? Cool. Let's wait until the Scorpio sells 50 million units. Then we'll talk.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Because, like, that's like that... Regardless of how powerful it is, Xbox isn't moving, because the second that they announced that a Scorpio is coming, no one bought an Xbox.
Yeah,
the last year the sales have been growing, but slowly, because they're like, well, I'll just wait to the Scorpio. I'll see what the Scorpio is.
I think the quickest answer to the question is, you know, is there, you know, what does Sony do being the second most powerful console on the market? It's nothing. Just keep doing exactly what they're doing because it works.
Mm.
And it's
why the choice to push the most powerful console in
right now? In the, because that was that at the time, that is a fact. And if you're marketing something, you base it on something that you can prove and something that sounds impressive. Like up until what we assume is November when the Scorpio drops, it is still the most powerful console.
Yeah. So it will continue to be until that point. So that was my point, I guess.
Yeah.
What is their marketing, their shtick now for the Pro? Take off that label.
My theory is this is where you play games.
It's a bit better.
It's a little bit better.
It's a little bit better.
Or it's 4K.
That's or it. It's 4K.
It's 4K.
Without a 4K
player. No, it's just like, it's good.
The consoles...
Or do they just get rid of the 4s? The standards. Like, at what point?
At some point, they will phase that out.
They drop the Pros to the price point where they just go, there's no more PS4 anymore. That's just, and it's just the PlayStation.
I'd give that another year.
Maybe that's the year.
I think that's the only way to smoothly transition out the PS4 Pro is stop making it and just shift it and just get rid of it. But like, this is an approach I talked about in our episode 1 when we talked about what Sony need to do in preparation for the Scorpio. And the answer is nothing.
Not episode one release.
No, we did. We talked about the E3 expectations. I think we talked about a little bit.
Did we?
So that would come out, and
my bad.
You know, rather than sort of being like, don't address the power issue. Just address the fact that we have games you want to play here.
Mm.
Like, we have the first party exclusives that you want. Mm. We have the second party exclusives that you want.
We have the third party deals.
As we talked about last week, we have the third party deals that you want. Like, you want some sort of timed exclusive shit. Come to us. As we just saw, Far Cry was announced 12 hours ago, roundabout.
Yeah.
15 hours ago. PlayStation slept on the front and back.
And that joins COD World War II. That joins Battlefront 2. That joins Destiny 2.
That joins Red Dead Redemption.
Red Dead Redemption. They're all huge games.
Of the key, when you think of key third-party games that are coming out in the next year, a lot of them have PlayStation slept on the front and back.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
That says something. No Scorpio will do that. Unless there is a clear line of like, hey, we made a game that's 1080p, 60 frames for Pro, but with the power, we could make it 4K 30 frames. Like, Or 4K 60, sorry. It's clearly better to play it over here.
But the issue is it worth paying what might be $700-$800 for this console to do that?
Depends on the person. I paid $800 for my original PS3.
So I think that'll be
the... I paid $1,000.
Damn. Yeah, my dad paid
day one.
Yeah, my dad paid the same for the backwards compatible one as where you put the PS3 discs in. Yeah, he's still got it. But the biggest thing Sony, I guess, will be looking for is how much are they releasing it at? Like, what's the dollar price?
Mm-hmm.
Because if it is $700, Sony's like, okay, whatever.
Like,
it's not going to sell like hotcakes because of the price.
The advantage they could do, right? So even if Microsoft come out and go, here's the X Scorpio and it's $500 US.
Mm.
Sony goes, that's fine. PS4 Pro, it can also do 4K. It can also do a bunch of these things that are similar, not identical, but similar. we've just shaved $50 off it. Mm. It's now $300. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, like they're extending that gap.
Yeah.
Like they're like, yeah, like, well, which one plays 4K? Well, they both do, but this one's $800 Australian and this one's $400 Australian. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, or $450. You're like, there's such a drastic difference in price there. That could be the new selling point, is the fact that we do 4K, but cheaper.
I have a question to branch off this. Do you think... let me start by saying, like, look at the PS3 as a whole generation. Okay. Yeah, look at Uncharted 1, and then look at The Last of Us, and you see through the 6, 7, 8 years the PS3 was the current gen. Look at how much more power they pulled out of the identical machine in that amount of time. Mm. It feels like Microsoft, I guess, are blowing their load too early, because you imagine, like, they can't have gotten everything they can out of the Xbox One or the Xbox One S, and then
have a console comparatively.
Huh? No, I don't think it's that. I think that they've had so many comparisons early between PS4 and Xbox, the original.
It's kind of forced their hand a little bit.
I think that they've just played for 24 months. They were just always behind. 900p.
That's exactly it.
Even though most people don't buy a console based purely on that, I think it just became this thing that was tested on every game that was on both consoles. And so they probably look at it and go, we don't have those exclusives. Teeing up exclusives and making games takes a shitload of time. Yeah. So let's just win this hardware. Mm. They won't be able to say that anymore.
Yeah.
The best console out.
Yeah. So, you know, we look at, you know, tech's outdated in a year or 2 years. You know, 6 years is long enough for a console to be out before a new one comes out. But then also you look at how much the devs learn to get from that tech in that same amount of time. I just don't want to see them going through it too quickly before they've even gotten what they can. Like, because what Naughty Dog did between Uncharted 1, 2, 3 and The Last of Us on the same generation, you'd swear they were different different generations, because The Last of Us, even on PS3, looks so fucking good, and Uncharted 1 really looks like dog shit by today's standards.
Yeah.
That you can get so much out of that 6 or 7 year period with that, because the longer you spend with the console and its infrastructure, the more you learn about it and the more you learn what you can take and what you can trade and what you can do. So I don't want to see these new iterations coming up so often, because it's been proven that with a bit of time, the devs can still get a lot more out of what they've been given originally.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the bigger the hardware, though, just makes it easier for them. Because I imagine Sony would have helped Naughty Dog, no doubt, understand.
Oh, for sure. Could, yeah. Send like 10 people there to sit with each department and be like, here.
They would have taken all those dev kits.
It's like a away from Ryan. Or Sony made like a BuzzFeed article. 10 tips and tricks to get the most out of your PlayStation console. Number 6, you won't believe.
I believe that. Yeah. Well, that's, I think that wraps up our main topic of the show, which moves us into the next section, which is from the players. We get those lovely questions from the people watching and listening. Tell us?
Sorry, before we started, I drank 3 glasses of water and I need to pee.
Okay.
So bad.
Can you quickly do the spiel before you duck off?
Spiel for what?
About where people can put their questions in.
Our Facebook group? Is that where you're going with this?
Yeah.
You can put in your questions on our Facebook group, where we will probably do a live video before we start recording every week now, like we did today.
Yeah, but I'll be more prepared.
Our Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/thepopculturist. So you can come over there. There'll normally be a post by Ryan or myself asking for questions for the players. Jump in there. It's a public group now. Please come over.
Yeah, you can always comment below when you have a question as well.
And become a part.
Quick chat while he goes and waits.
And become a part of our PlayStation conversation.
Hey, man. Hello. Hey, how you find it so far? Be on the show.
It's good. Yeah? It's good. It's very bright in here. The salad bowls do a great job.
Yeah, it is very bright in here. Like, but you kind of, you get the sweats up?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, it gets incredible.
We're getting the jump.
It gets incredibly warm in here, like doing the show.
Yeah, I might just take this off.
Yeah, let's go ahead. Oh, he's peeing, you're getting naked. Shit. The show just changed.
Golden showers.
So did you feel that we tackled your question in a good way?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was, I'm just interested to know the logic behind having a crack for a year and saying it's the best, and knowing full well that literally it's got an expiration date. Everything does, but it's so soon. It's 12 months.
Yeah, I think it's just taking advantage of what you can while you're there. Like, shit, if for any reason we are the number one PlayStation podcast in Australia for a week, I'm going to push the shit out of it for that week.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Fair enough.
Like, that's the thing. If you've got some sort of bragging rights, if you've got something you can put your hat on, like, you do it.
Yeah.
You do it. How's the pig?
Baby and wife are home and baby's not happy.
Oh, shit. No, I'm going to wrap this up.
No, okay. You still have to do. I'm just letting you know. Oh. I'm not telling you to wrap up the show.
No, I'm just saying 10 for your child, you piece of shit.
No.
All right, let's bring up to Jess, Rock Mummy TV on all our streams. Ask the question, what do we think of the latest Crash Bandicoot reveal? Where this morning, as time of recording, they showed us some footage from Crash Bandicoot Warped.
I haven't seen it.
Well, I did see in general.
Well, I did see the announcement that the game will come with 3 platinum trophies.
Yeah.
That makes me happy. Although I imagine those trophies are going to be really fucking hard.
I think a lot of them will be time trial based, because like with the original Crash, it was pretty much play the game. So I think there'll be like obviously get all purple things.
Get all the boxes to get all the purple crystals.
Blah, blah, blah. And then there'll be time trial, and it's like get X amount of time trials. Like I think it'll be more collective-y than like jump on this
I can see them throwing one or two in there that you'll read, one of the trophies you read and go, oh no.
Like, fuck you.
Oh no.
Really mad.
Because I always, whenever I get a new game, I look at the trophy list. See how achievable the platinum is. Like, I got Rocket League. I'm like, that's actually really easy platinum because none of it involves online. Mm-hmm. Horizon, like, well, I'm at 80% just by finishing the game. And then, you know, I look at Injustice. I'm like, that whole list, I'm like, this is all doable. This is all really doable. And then it's like, win 200 online matches. I'll play 200 online matches. I was like, that's a lot.
Have a look at the Injustice. If you're concerned about Injustice 2, go look at Injustice 1.
I heard that it's better than number 1.
And like that's like difficult as shit.
But hopefully they're achievable platinums. Like I'm keen. I'm so keen.
Now, you and I were having an interesting discussion before about Crash.
Yeah, I actually didn't think it looked that great. Mm. I asked you because I haven't been across this game in the lead up at all. I said, was it a remake or a remaster? And you said it was a remake.
It's a remake from like every little bit has been remade by Vicarious Visions. Like they've gone in there and they've rebuilt the box. They've rebuilt Crash. They've rebuilt that two-headed guy with the chickens. They've rebuilt the flame guy. Like everything about it is from scratch. And like it's aesthetically similar.
Yeah.
Like they've not like given him like, you know, additional features.
It definitely looks a lot better than the old ones if you pulled up the old
ones. The worst part is
it just didn't look as beautiful as Ratchet and Clank.
I'm looking forward to playing Crash 1 with the joystick instead of the D-pad.
Yes, please.
God, that was so hard playing it on the Vita with the D-pad.
My biggest concern is with this game is they are pushing it as like 4K as they called it. So it's like this game runs at 4K.
Oh no, they're not, are they?
They did, yeah. It was about a year ago they referred to it as 4K because you can see the little details on his fur. And I was like, that's lame, but I like it.
Embrace it.
And the biggest problem is a lot of the streams, a lot of the footage we're seeing now wouldn't be 4K. It'd be just 1080, right? So you look at it and you're like, well, and then once you get it in your console and you pull it up on like, you know, you got a lovely 4K TV as well, you can be like, damn. Mm. You'll have that moment where everything just be like, damn. But the other biggest problem that I'm going to have is, because I have such a fond memory of Crash Bandicoot, like in my head it looked like this. But then I go back and look at it now, I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
That game looks like trash.
Trash.
But no, I'm really damn keen. That game is literally about a month.
Crash Bandicoot, he said.
Crash Bandicoot, well done. So it's about a month away from now. And you've already worded them up for us.
Yes.
Yeah, buddy. All right, what else we got? Talk amongst yourselves, because my phone might unlock.
Anytime he says talk amongst yourselves,
it's only just Josh. He's like,
hi camera, how you doing? No, but anytime like he says to like me and Dylan, let's talk amongst yourselves while I do this, we don't, because we know he hates dead air, so we make the dead air.
It hurts. It does hurt me. Paul James asked the question, Final Fantasy VII Remake and Kingdom Hearts 3 are up to 3 years away, allegedly. Where does the fault rest? Square Enix for leaving too much work for Nomura to juggle or other reasons?
Well, I've heard just from reading a little bit online that Nomura is the one to blame, because he apparently just keeps jumping between the projects, and because he has his hands in everything, and it just slows everything down. I don't mean like he's not fisting everything. I mean, Jesus.
That would make you work faster.
Yeah. But a bit of news is...
Nomura's here. Oh, God.
I'm just editing this shader. Just the thing is, like, I don't care.
Yes.
Because as far as I'm concerned, from what I've seen of the Final Fantasy remake already, they've fucked it up. Because they've changed the combat from turn-based combat to the Final Fantasy 15 style of the action-based combat.
It's one of the things that turned you off the game, yeah?
That's why I didn't play Final Fantasy 15. I played it for about 5 hours and went, I like it, but the combat's not for me. I love turn-based combat. That's my thing, and I love it. And now that they've... You know, they're always talking about how faithful they're going to stay to the original Final Fantasy VII, and they already haven't because they've changed the whole dynamic of the combat. So I don't give a fuck. I don't care.
See, like, I don't have an emotional attachment with Final Fantasy or Kingdom Hearts. So for me, they're like, it's going to be 3 years where I'm like, okay. Like, I'm sure we'll play when it comes out because, like, I'll be like, hey, that game's coming out. Oh, let's give it a go.
But off that is...
Like when they announced Kingdom Hearts, like, 1.5 and 2.5 HD. Remix, whatever, fuck. Yeah. Like, I was like, oh...
2.8?
Yeah. And then 2.8 Final Chapter Prologue.
it's like John Farnham.
it's the John Farnham equivalent. Yeah. This may be the last time Final Chapter Prologue. Yeah. Like, that's his last time.
But they also announced for Final Fantasy VII this week is that the studio is urgently hiring to start major production. It's like, there's been a production for, like, 3 fucking years at this point.
My concern is the fact they just announced too early.
Mm. Oh, yeah, I always do that. But, like, how long did Final Fantasy 15 take?
When they originally announced that they were in full production, then shit went bad and they bailed. You know, like, that's a little bit different. Is it because I don't have the attachment? I'm about it. But, like, granted, when I heard the 1.5 and 2.5 were coming out, I'm like, I kind of want to pick that up and go back to them and play them. Mm. And I imagine if I play the Final Fantasy, like, not Final Fantasy, because I don't care Final Fantasy in general, but Kingdom Hearts, like, it lures me in with Disney. I'm like, there's an Aladdin level. Mm. I'm like, oh, well,
yeah, there is.
I'm going to play this.
But Kingdom Hearts also has the Final Fantasy characters in it too.
Yeah, but I don't give a fuck about them because I want to go there and play Disney things.
Oh, okay.
So there's a Tarzan level. There's Toy Story level. Like, there's all these additional little things. And, like, now knowing that, like, Disney own Marvel and Star Wars, I'm like, there's going to be a Marvel level?
Is it?
Is it going to be a Star Wars? It could be. We don't know. It's 3 years away.
Maybe that's why they've delayed it so much, to shoehorn all these.
Yeah, maybe. And, like, yeah, the short answer is me. I don't give a fuck. But, like, I think it would be an interesting... In the same way Last Guardian, come 10 years, that tragic story of this game took way long to come out.
Yeah.
And then it will never live expectations.
They hit that point of, we are so far in, we may as well just finish it instead of just cancelling it.
Yep.
Any more questions? Are we moving on?
The problem is I don't delete the questions from last week, so I don't remember whether I read that. Oh, here we go. Well, final question from our good buddy, Tom. Tom asked the question, PlayStation VR, why do they design the thing to have so many fucking cables?
Well, I don't have one. I look at my
entertainment unit and my PS4 is a cable mess. With the PSVR box, chargers and stuff, while my Xbox One is sleek and sexy with just one rear cable.
I'm guessing because they had to. Yeah, I mean,
it's not wireless.
If they wanted to go the wireless route or reduce the cables, I'm sure the price would have been jacked up a fair bit as well. But I know for Ryan, for you, that is your turn off from playing VR more, is because you need to plug it all in.
Like, I would stream more VR. Like, you know how much time and effort it took me to get everything in here to be able to stream Farpoint? Yeah. It took like an hour just to play Farpoint. Like, the way it's set up in the lounge room is I just plug the headset in, turn it on, or I have to swap the HDMIs out, which is garbage, by the way, because the stupid HDR support isn't in the box. Ugh! But it's relatively easy. The cable management is a mess. There's not much you can do about it. Look at the back of your PC. Back of your PC is a goddamn mess.
Mine's not.
Mine's a total mess. But, like, the reason the Xbox has two cables, HDMI and because it doesn't have VR, there's nothing you can plug into it. You can plug it connecting there if you wanted to.
My PS4 has two cables. I love it.
Yeah, give me an adapter. See, that's additional cables. I think it's because you have additional crap you can put in there.
Dave, when you had your VR, was that off-putting?
Yes. It was extremely. I packed it away. We have a minimalist house, and so everything's away and placed in a special spot. And so, yeah, it used to frustrate me a lot having to plug everything in and then having it dangle everywhere. I actually tripped over it once, almost broke my TV. And then I raged and just put it away. And I'm like, this is too much work.
That's when you sold it to get the Switch.
Yes.
Good decision. Are you happy with that choice?
I am happy with that choice. Yeah. Although the whole Farpoint thing, watching that stream made me go, oh,
We might set it up for you this afternoon. Yeah. And the other big thing is because Tom sort of mentioned the charging for the controllers as well. Yeah. I guess that's the only downside to being smart and having a reusable battery in your controller, not batteries. So we might have less cables around your Xbox. You have a big pile of dead fucking batteries.
That's not a big deal.
Not a big deal at all.
That's not a big deal at all.
But even though you do have this lovely PS4 or the Xbox One, what games are you playing for it this week with the drop?
That was a terrible segue.
Shut your face,
that was
yours.
Such a bad segue. Actually, yeah, mine was pretty bad too. So I found out the reason why they weren't getting write-ups from last week.
Because they're busy as shit for E3.
I think it's Ryan Clements that does it. Clements. Busy for E3, so I just put the names up. But there are...
And everyone can just guess the rest.
Everyone can just, yeah, figure it out. So the drop for the week starting on the 29th of the 5th. ACA Neo Geo Metal Slug 2 for PS4 Digital. ACA Neo Geo The Last Blade PS4 Digital.
Can you look us up for the Neo Geo games?
Before I move on from there, what is ACA Neo Geo?
Neo Geo is like an old like PC, little handheld. It's an old school tech.
Because every week there's at least two games They can't be selling.
The Switch is the Nintendo Switch ACA Neo Geo.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. Okay. Bricks, PS4 Digital. Crossout, PS4 Digital. Damascus Gear, Tokyo Battle HD Edition, PS4 Digital. Danger Zone.
There was an original edition? Like,
I don't know.
The Testament HD Edition?
Danger Zone, PS4 Digital.
Away to the...
Danger Zone, PS4 Digital. Energy Balance, PS4 Digital. Enigmatis 2, The Mists of Ravenwood, PS4 Digital. Locks Quest, PS4 Digital and Retail. Oh, sir! The Insult Simulator, PS4 Digital. That sounds cool. Paddle vs. Paddle, PS4 Digital. Polarity Ultimate Edition, PS4 Digital. Shoe, PS Vita Digital. Star Trek...
Shuhei has his own game.
Star Trek Bridge Crew, PS4 Digital and Retail. Tekken 7, PS4 Digital and Retail. Thea, The Awakening, PS4 Digital. And YS Origin, PS Vita Digital. So two games stand out from that.
Star Trek Bridge Crew and Tekken 7?
Exactly.
Yeah!
Are you getting Bridge Crew?
I would like to.
I know you don't have the Star Trek attachment.
I'm a Star Wars man.
Yeah, like, but
I'm
you were hyped for the game.
But the idea of the game is awesome. As in, like, you know, what will probably happen is we'll probably get me, Tom, you know, Zach, like, any of like our friends that also have little outlets, and we will all sit down in our houses, respective houses, and run the Enterprise badly.
Depends how far they let you go.
Just as much sexual tension.
Like, because the game is essentially you, like, your character stand and you just poke things. And, like, that's so easy and sounds fun as shit.
Yeah.
Like, I want to see if we can crash the Enterprise.
Yeah, it depends how far they let you go with messing it up. Yeah. Like, what are the consequences? How fun and funny can you make fucking up be?
My only concern with Star Trek, in the same vein of, like, Werewolves Within, right? With a game that is solely reliant on six people coming together to play a game, that could be bad for it in terms of where its success lies. But Werewolves Within isn't a known franchise. Star Trek is. People love Star Trek.
Enough to make people plug their VRs in.
Potentially.
And trip over the cords and break their TVs.
And Tekken 7 is awesome. As long as Eddie Gordo is in it, I don't give a shit.
I was hyped for Tekken 7 because I hadn't played a fighting game for years. But then Injustice 2 came out and I've got my fighting game fixed now, so I'm probably not going to buy it.
See, me being a long time Tekken fan, like Tekken
3. Oh, right, me too.
Like, Tekken 3 is by far one of my favorite games of all
Tekken
time.
Tekken 3 and Tekken Tag, especially the bowling mode that they had. Awesome.
Tekken 3 is just such a soft spot with me that I'll get really excited for any Tekken game. Like, whenever they were going to do Tekken X Street Fighter, which never came out, like, that made me so sad.
I know Dave is doing his thing and trying to get his code for it.
You're doing some work for us.
So if you don't see us streaming Tekken 7 next week, you can blame this man.
No, blame the person that said no to Dave.
go up the chain.
But you'll probably buy it anyway. I'm keen as crap to give it a go.
You'll probably get it either way, yeah.
Star Trek will probably work out. Tekken, maybe not.
Maybe not.
We'll see how we go.
We'll see. That's it.
That's it
for the drop. That's it for the show.
How did you find you for the
Thank
place
you for
experience?
Having me.
No worries.
Thanks for coming, man.
And now we're going to have tacos and beer.
Yeah. We have Taco Fiesta and beverages.
And Cards Against Humanity, probably.
Yeah.
Awesome. But, you know, you do so much for us behind the scenes. It's good to get your face on and voice on the show.
Like, it's all well and good. Like, when people watch our stuff, they see the three faces, and like, there are a couple of faces behind the scenes now that do magical work, and that's one is you and the other is Joel.
Yep.
Joel is building the website, which should be up any day now.
It's been delayed for 3 weeks just because we're lazy.
Because we haven't that's what this weekend, like this day, you're supposed to be for the players, beers and taco, and business chats. And that's like writing our descriptions and stuff, writing the written things that need to be on the website, which we haven't done yet.
Which isn't much.
Nice. It's like 400 words.
Yeah.
We're like, fuck that. We'll do it later.
For 3 weeks. Yeah. But that's it.
Anyway, give them the spiel, Josh.
Do I normally start with the spiel or do you lead me into it?
No, you always kick it off.
I'll kick it off. If you enjoyed that conversation, you can join in many more on YouTube, iTunes, and Stitcher. Not SoundCloud, because that service isn't good. We are also on all the social media outlets, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat we don't use because we're not...
We don't look good. Pictures of our junk to people. So.
Yeah, no. Like, dick pics are for personal friends only. But where the big conversation...
If you want to see our dick pics, follow our personal Snapchat account.
please. Yeah, I'll put them on my story for everyone to see. But where the bulk of the conversation happens is our Facebook group, facebook.com/group/thepopculturist. It is now a public group. You can come and join in whenever you like.
It has been renamed to the Pop C community to prevent any confusion with the Pop Culturist Facebook page.
Correct. But we are also, as of today, I hope... launching Patreon.
Yeah, patreon.com/thepopculturist. There's a bunch of cool little things in there. Our stretch goal so far is build a new table and replace the garbage lights. Like, our requests aren't that high.
No.
There's a bunch of different tiers there with a bunch of cool different options for you. So depending on where and what you want to contribute, there is everything for everyone.
But if you don't want to contribute at all, that's fine.
That's fine.
Thank you for watching.
Just thank
anyway.
You for liking and subscribing and being part of the conversation.
And if you don't want to do any of that stuff either, thank you anyway.
Yeah, and thank you very much once again, Dave, for joining and talking the PlayStations. It's all been well and good, but this was for the players.